Stella. It is obvious to everyone that I barely scraped by today in the tent. Believe me, I'm mortified by my performance. My peach pie was burnt, nearly inedible on the bottom, with a gooey filling that hadn't had time to properly set before judging. If I hadn't burnt my first filling, it would have turned out okay. I try to comfort myself, but I'm honestly not sure if that's true. I cringe, remembering the look on Bessie's face as she bit into it, the slight pause and purse of her lips in displeasure. If Gerald had stayed and finished his pies instead of storming off set, there's no question that I would be packing up right now. I'm going to do better tomorrow. I know that I can. The thought motivates me. I dig a creased school notebook out of my bag and go to the small desk pressed up against the window of my room. I look at my shadowy reflection. My face looks sad and sunken, and my eyes are dark holes in the window pane. I'm good at starting over. I think back on all the foster families I lived with over the years. Somehow, I never really minded the upheaval. Each time I moved with a new family, began a first day of a new school, it felt like I was given a fresh slate. I must have always held some optimism inside that my life could still surprise me. I guess I had just always hoped that things would change for the better. I look away from the window, flipping the notebook open. I once used these notebooks to write down ideas and take down quotes for articles I was writing. But ever since I stopped working at the Republic, I've just used them to record my baking inspiration. I brush off today's mistakes and start fresh. In my imagination, I begin to pair different flavors so that whatever bake is announced in the morning, I'll have a head start on my ingredients. I tap my pen on the paper as I think. I want to be inventive, but not off-putting. My mind swirls with images of tarts and pastries drizzled with icing and topped with tempered chocolate. I begin to write out plans for as many desserts as I can come up with. I fill up the page with trifles, croissants, tarts, cupcakes, pavlovas, and madeleines. I want to be prepared so that no matter what dessert they throw at us tomorrow, I will have my wits about me. I won't panic like I did today. The planning calms me, as it always does, and I lose track of time until I hear a sound outside. It is the thin murmur of a voice, barely audible through the glass. I stand up and stretch across the desk to peer outside. The light from my bedroom window casts a long rectangle of yellow light across the grass, fading into the inky darkness of the woods. The rest of the lawn is dark and motionless. I don't see or hear anything. Maybe the sound was coming from inside the house. Then, I wonder if I imagined it, and there was no sound at all. I do have trouble trusting my own perceptions the way I used to. When I draw back from the window, my heart is pounding, fearful. I count down in my head. 5, 4, 3, 2, until I find myself calming down again. I move away from the window and sit on the bed. My travel alarm clock says 11:04. I should be getting some sleep anyway. I put my notepad on the bedside table and turn off the light. The faint sound of laughter travels through the glass, and I leap out of bed, rushing to the window. Two people emerge from the woods, darting across the lawn toward the manor. One of them stumbles, leaning on the larger one. Their hands are entwined. The moonlight catches on the smaller one's bright white blonde hair and slim shoulders. "It's Hannah," I realize with a start. Her strappy sandals dangle from the fingers of one hand. Next to her, his arm now disappearing around her small waist as if to push her along, is none other than Archie Morris. They pick up speed as they get closer, running silently across the lawn toward the manor until I am looking almost directly down on them. Archie casts a furtive glance up, and I dive to the side of the window. Good thing I turned my light off, or he'd have definitely seen me. I shiver. It felt as if he'd looked right at me. I peer out again over the edge of the curtains, just as they disappear into a door in the side of the building. I stand in the darkness, heart thudding, listening for Hannah's footsteps in the hall, the gentle click of her door coming to a close. But I hear nothing.